Hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Yes, here we are again. You know, we have a theme here in Advanced Living Radio to bring support, quality for your life to improve how things are going, whether you're under a lot of stress or whether you're doing real well and want to make it better. There's always something that can be done. We have not reached our ultimate good or been lifted out of stress long enough. So here we go. And there's a theme that guides me to get my guests. It's a little prayer or a positive intention, however you want to say it. And I'll offer this to you and, of course, encourage you to make up your own. This one goes like this. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. That's the idea. That's the theme for me of a guiding light to bring you guests each week. And as we get into our show today, I want to invite you to take a moment and learn about the sponsor of Advanced Living Radio, a company that is offering the comfort technology. And the website for that is advancedlivingcomfort.com. And when you go to that website, you'll learn about a small plug-in item that creates a harmonizing effect. Some people call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers because to look at it, it looks like a stylish little digital clock that you'd see on a nightstand or a desk or easily put in a travel bag to take with you wherever you go. When you plug it in, it creates a harmonized energy that mitigates the stress of our high-tech electric world and just makes things a lot easier. People report sleeping better, thinking more clearly, moods improving, just on and on, because it really lightens the load. And there's folks like Harvard Medical Doctor Eva Selhub, Chicken Soup for the Soul, books author Jack Canfield, many, many that recommend this. And so invite you to check out advancedlivingcomfort.com. There's some special pricing there. We're actually saving up to 70% on this with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So check it out. And now, here we go. You know that there's just so much that can be done when we free up our minds and open up to more possibilities. Well, what about a wonderful guest today that has spent a lot of time in a very structured environment and then is opening up pathways within himself to more creativity and to seeing that not only blossom in his life, but to the support and entertainment of a growing number of people. As an author, our guest today, John Payne, was born in Chicago but moved to Wisconsin as a youth, and he's a retired U.S. Army officer and successfully operated three small businesses after his retirement. And now, as he moves on, you'd say, well, what about this guy? Well, he loves to write and teach. And he was an adjunct professor in business at several universities and spent many post-military years in the field of healthcare administration. Like his book trilogy main theme, he loved to move and change jobs every 3 years, engaging in new, unrelated, and exciting challenges. Well, folks, what a treat it is, because someone that's good at doing this, you may have noticed that in our modern world, people needing to be flexible and adaptable is just so important, with companies downsizing or outsourcing and people having to do this. Well, here's an amazing resource. Now, John holds a bachelor's degree from St. Norbert College there in Wisconsin and a master's in public health from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He's married with three adult children, resides now in good old San Antonio, Texas, and we just want to invite him to come on in and share some fun with us today. Welcome, John.
Well, thank you so much, Ken, for that warm introduction, and I'm extremely happy to be on the show and chat with you and share some things, interesting things, I hope, to all of your listeners out there in Colorado.
Yes, and then just all over the internet as the host station BBS Radio gets folks from literally all over the planet. And so to me, John, I'm excited. Would you help share a bit about the background of what got you both into writing, and then tell us a little bit about, I guess, well, there's a trilogy, so I guess you might just start with one, two, and then your most recent book.
I'd be happy to, Ken. I've always enjoyed, as you mentioned, writing and talking and teaching and those types of things. But about 3.5 years ago, when I was in the VA hospital with, by the way, a service-connected problem, I got bored. And I sent my wife down to get a book and, something to keep me entertained. And when she came back, she said, John, there's, really no interesting books that you would like. And I said, that's fine. So I got my notes out, and I said, well, I'm going to start writing my own book.
Okay.
Well, and I had a lot of experience over the years doing many different things. Within the military, you move basically every 3 years. And after I separated from the military, I decided to move every 3 years. I got bored, needed a new challenge, needed a new environment. I wanted to be exposed to so many different things in life that I was just charged up to do that. So I got my notes together about managing an apartment in an urban setting and dealing with all of the interesting characters that I had to deal with 24/7, and wrote this first book in the trilogy. Well, it wasn't going to be a trilogy at that time, Ken. It was just going to be my first book, kind of about me and some of the dealings I had with human nature. And so the first book was The Saga of a San Francisco Apartment Manager. And then I really got excited to turn my goal into a trilogy about my main man. So the second book is Three and Out, Running a Mental Health Hospital in San Antonio. So I decided to really get into fictionalizing and create a pretty vicious murder within the confines of a mental health hospital involving the CIA and so on and so forth. I use some of the experiences that I had in the past managing hospitals and even a mental health hospital. So my theme along the way was three and out, the side of a San Francisco apartment manager, three and out running a mental health hospital in San Antonio, which, by the way, is a regional bestseller. It's going very well down in the Southwest, and especially in the San Antonio area. And then I had to finish the trilogy with a book about my hometown, Chicago. So my character moves after 3 years, the murder gets solved, the hospital is efficiently operating. So he said, got to do something different. And he ends up becoming a private investigator in Chicago. And here he is met with several challenges, high-profile cases that he really couldn't handle very well. And so the title, The Chicago Terminus, depicts the ending of my trilogy and the ending of my main character. So that's kind of how I got into it, Ken, laying on a bed in the VA hospital after receiving chemotherapy from a early Vietnam service problem, and actually instilled with new life, with new hope, and that feeds into your theory and your philosophy about life. And I just love to do different things. Now, I've been in a new home out here in San Antonio. When we hit 3 years, I looked at my wife and said, it's time. And she said, John, I'm tired of moving. So we ended up leasing a little apartment downtown San Antonio on the Riverwalk. So we're able to get from the county to downtown and have, you know, we've kind of made that move, but it's not a permanent move. So still doing those wild kind of things, Ken. That's my age and time in book.
And this theme of kind of, I don't know if you'd call it just a restlessness or a just a sense of time for something new. Has this been there through a lot of your life?
It really has. I was born in Chicago, and my mother kind of, I think, passed on the genetic makeup of moving frequently because she was always asked my father to move. So they moved to Wisconsin, and I went to school. And while I was in college there, they moved to South Dakota, then to Nebraska, then to Illinois, then to California. I mean, it was as if he were in the military also. But, of course, he did the same thing. He had the same job. He was with a meatpacking company. And there were needs for his type of services at different plants. So let's say it's a genetic thing, Ken, that I love to move. I do get bored. I love to meet new people. I love new challenges. And I think that's a very healthy, stress-free, believe it or not, some people are stressed. How can you move so often? Well, try it. I mean, you've been in the same home for 30 years. Aren't you bored with things? So it's just, I'll blame my mother for it, Ken, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I think, folks, remember, now John's not saying this, but I'm taking advantage of what he just mentioned to give us a little tongue-in-cheek moment that says, look, if there's something you're not happy about, if there's something wrong in some aspect of your life or somewhere on the planet, we recommend blame it on your parents. Okay?
Especially doesn't matter if they're deceased, Ken.
Huh?
Especially if they're deceased.
There you go.
Okay.
That would certainly be nicer to let them pass on before you lay this trip on them.
Exactly.
This is good. Well, I'm curious, now, as you've started this part of your road where all of a sudden you went from being in the VA hospital, as you said, dealing with some stuff related to time in Vietnam in the military and chemotherapy. So, I mean, to me, chemotherapy is not done as an entertainment. It's obviously something serious was going on.
Yes, to be quite frankly, I was diagnosed with a rare type of leukemia, which the VA and the wise folks in the high places determined it was related to Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam.
Mm.
And why it presented so late after my service there in the late 60s is not known, but not questioned. So, as I said, it gave me new life. It just was kind of like a pump of confidence poured throughout my whole system. John, you got to get up and you got to go and you got to keep moving and enjoy what you have.
Mm. Wow. Well, this is interesting. I don't know if you'd ever heard of a fella, Danion Brinkley.
No, I haven't.
Okay. The reason I bring him up, because he's a bit of an adventuresome guy himself. I don't know about you in childhood, but Danion, who has had a lot to do for many years with the VA hospitals in helping to take care of veterans. So let me bring that in as a bit of a context. And Danion was a kind of a bully, a bit of a tough guy in high school, and out of high school got recruited to be an operative for the CIA. And he turned out to be good at it, and there were some folks that he had taken care of as an operative would. I don't know if you call it just, assassination or removing someone from the planet that someone else deems to be necessary to remove. But anyway, he was doing that work, and one day he picks up a phone line, and there was a rainstorm going on, and the line got struck by lightning, and it literally killed him. He was dead, and then about a half hour later, laying on a slab, he comes back to life with all these memories of the other side, and this is 1975, and he writes the first of three books, Saved by the Light. And it turned his life around from being a real nasty bully assassin into someone that started a hospice program, Compassion in Action, and now it's called the Twilight Brigade, where he trains people in hospice work, volunteers, and he himself, over the last 35 or so years, has spent close to 30,000 hours at the bedsides of dying veterans who would normally have just expired alone, and he was there, and others he's trained have been there so that they don't die alone, that there's someone caring.
That's absolutely wonderful. I'll have to check him out, Ken. And I want to offer this as somewhat of a parallel to what Mr. Brinkley did. I practice a form of Tai Chi. It's called Tai Chi Cha. It was introduced by a man by the name of Justin Stone back in the early 70s. And it's not the martial art Tai Chi manly thing. It's a much reduced, let me say, exercise of redistributing the energy cycles in one's body.
Mm.
And it's designed to do what we all talk about, relieving stress and, you know, things of that nature. And my wife's an accredited teacher, so we volunteer at the military and at the VA, and we've been asked, Ken, something very interesting, if we would assist the local Army Medical Center in a program that they have designed for aftercare for psychiatric treatment. And they're bringing in some non-traditional, shall we say, healers. Although my wife is not a healer, we don't advertise ourselves as healers.
Yeah.
To work with the group after they have gone through, you know, their psychiatric care. And so it's something new and something exciting. And, of course, it's all voluntary on our part to give back something to of the interesting things in an interesting book that Justin wrote, it's called Abandon Hope. And in his book, he says, stop all this hoping and wishing and get on with your life. You're living today. Take advantage of what you can do successfully today and not hope down the road that this, that, or something else is going to present itself to make your life easier. So that's kind of our philosophy, and my philosophy is to maximize the day and do the best you can. If it's giving hope or whatever, relieving somebody's stress,
yeah.
Or in a lot of cases, Ken, she gets referrals from doctors for post-stroke patients who have balance problems and arthritic problems. So this Tai Chi Cha has entered my life and has helped me in creative thinking to write my book. So it's amazing what's out there that people can grab onto.
I like that. And to me, as I sit here and have so many interesting and fabulous guests like yourself on the radio, it gives me an opportunity to, in my mind, to kind of imagine how the talent of my guests might be able to be supportive of others. That's a theme in my life, and so sometimes the guests come on, and before they know it, I'm sneaking up on them with some idea about, well, what if you did this or that?
Right, and it's a Western discipline. Justin Stone trained in India, China, Japan.
Mm.
And he became master in Tai Chi Chuan, which is somewhat of a martial art, and it involves, I think, 108 movements, continuous movements. And when he came back to the States, he found that the Western world, us, you, I, and our friends, just couldn't be satisfied with trying to learn 108 continuous movements. So he reduced it and modified it to what he called Tai Chi Cha. Cha meaning knowledge of the Tai Chi Cha, the Tai Chi principles of evening the flow of electricity throughout one's body through some movement. And if I can just mention, Ken, if your audience is interested, there is a website for that.
Yeah, please.
It's www.taichicha.org, and I'll spell that. It's TAICHICHIH.org.
Okay. Great, so, and it's simplified down to how many moves?
It's 19 moves and one pose.
Ah.
And older people kind of migrate to it because you don't have to get on the ground like yoga. And it's slow, it's disciplined movements that virtually everybody could do. My wife had one patient at the VA hospital who was rolled into the kind of the open area. He could only move one hand. And she went through with him about five or six of the movements. And he couldn't talk, and he had tears in his eyes when he was done. And he asked the medical aide for a pen and, you know, paper. And he wrote just a very simple note to my wife. Thank you so much. You've enlightened my day.
Mm.
And, you know, it's things like that that push us. And this has nothing to do directly with the book that I write. I don't write about Tai Chi Cha or those kind of things. But it's opened my mind to more creativity, at least in my opinion. And
yeah.
I guess that's what counts again, right?
Right. Well, and I want to be able to reference, because I know you didn't put time into writing a trilogy of three things that related to some different aspects of your life,
right,
without wanting people to benefit. How is it that we can find these books?
Well, all of my books are on Amazon.com, and probably the easiest thing, Ken, would be to give you my website, which lists the three books that folks can just click right on the website. It hyperlinks right to the page in Amazon structure. So my website, and that is simply johncpayne.com. And then John C. Payne is all in lowercase.
Okay.
And that's, in fact, the most unbelievable thing is I just got it done. I created it myself, never having even gotten into computer literacy.
Ah. Well, to me, just having the privilege of having met Danyon a number of years ago and now connecting with you today, and understanding some of the ways that your life has unfolded and some of the things you've been through, I just can't help but be curious if there may be at some level any interest, because there's so many veterans that really, I would guess, have some very amazing stories.
Very much so.
And what I see is not only you having the courage to not just decide you're going to write a book, but by gosh, you did it three times. So, so that to me says a whole lot about you. And then the part about you liking to teach. My dream, if I could just wave the magic wand, would be to see you in some position, maybe getting a grant or something, to help other veterans to be writing stories and getting them out there, because to be able to do this, I think, gives people a reason to live and communicates important things. This is just exciting. And then with your wife being this trainer of this special form of Tai Chi that is easy to learn and so helpful, I mean, I'm seeing a major resource between the two of you, especially for veterans, but not just veterans, for all of us.
Well, thank you, Ken. And as an aside, when I finished writing that first book, as a result of my hospitalization, the VA, I went to the VA and I said, would you guys like to buy my book? Because it would help in your canteens downstairs to, put some interesting books in. And they sent me to, I can't remember the website, and I spoke with one of their main people, said, John, we're here to help disabled veterans. Get a hold of ABC out in Minnesota, and they would be interested. So I contacted them out in Minnesota, and they put a purchase order in for 50 books just right off the bat without, without me pushing or, bringing in any other outside resources. So, number one, the VA is there to help all of us veterans. We just have to be patient. We can't demand the benefits, although some people do. We have to pretty much ask for them, because there are so many veterans out there, Ken, and the VA just can't take care of everybody's needs all at once and whenever they ask to be helped. And the other interesting thing is whenever we do Tai Chi Cha, and my wife has classes going on all the time, she doesn't even mention it, but people for some reason or other want to buy my book. So I think I've sold my book to every Tai Chi Cha practitioner that we've trained. Because she talks about creativity, and when you do Tai Chi Cha, you remove all of these different little stressful thoughts that you have in your mind and body. And we also volunteer at the Major Military Medical Center, Ken. They, about every 6 months, have a program where they bring all their practitioners in to one location, and they call it Take a Bite Out of Stress. And they have different folks like us, yoga people, and other practitioners of stress relief and relaxation, a whole day. We give a couple of sessions in one day, the Tai Chi Cha practice. Again, volunteer. And which I think points out the need by a lot of higher-ups that, hey, here's a modality that can help. So That's kind of what we do.
Wow. Wow. And now, I don't know if your wife has a separate website.
She does. I'm the entrepreneur in the family, Ken.
Okay.
My wife just, I told her, hey, it took me 3 days to create my own. And why don't I do one for you? She says, nope. I really don't like to commercialize it. I just like to go out and help people. Well, you can find on the website I gave you also lists all the certified Tai Chi instructors in the country. In fact, in the world, there's some in France that we have actually practiced with. On our 50th anniversary, we went to Verdun, France, where I was assigned. We were assigned my first assignment in the Army. And we looked up three Tai Chi instructors, and they all happened to live within a radius of about 50 miles. And we got together with them, and we practiced with them and practiced with their class, and two of the three couldn't speak English, but we could communicate.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So.
Wow. You two, quite a dynamic duo.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Brinkley, wanting to help veterans and so on, it's amazing because I do book signings over at the VA hospital about twice a year, and it's just I spend most of my time counseling people. They've all got stories. They roll up in their wheelchair. Say, "You been in Nam, buddy?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I've been there. Well, let me tell you my story." And ultimately, some will ask me, would I help them write their book? And well, start making notes. Maybe we can get together. But
wow. Can I put something forward? Because I listen to you, and I'm just imagining you talking to people, and our veterans, I mean, these are the folks that are, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I mean, you went to Vietnam, men, women that have put their lives on the line so that we have some of the freedoms that we enjoy here in our country. And depending upon who you talk to, I mean, you may or may not have seen years ago, there was a movie about some of the problems with the VA called Article 99 with Kiefer Sutherland and some others, and it showed some pretty sad things going on, and I don't know how accurate that was, but I like your focus of attention on, you know, there is a caring out there, and if we are gentle and persistent, sounds kind of like the Tai Chi and Cha thing a bit.
Well, exactly. Now, you know, I have a medical background. It's medical administration, medical economics, and so on. I never healed anybody, Ken. I got doctors a lot of equipment that they wanted, but I never touched anybody on the top of their head and say, "Ye are cured." But I followed the VA for a long time, even when I was in the military, in the Army Medical Service, part of doing work, you know, jointly with the VA and so on. And I have seen over the years how they have really, really gotten better and better. They've affiliated with medical schools, teaching programs, and have aligned themselves where they should be. So there's an awful lot of talent within the VA structure. And I heard stories, my uncles from the Second World War, telling about the VA and how terrible they were. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't experience that. I just have a very positive attitude for what the VA does for all of our former service people.
Great. Well, to me, it's so important that we've lived in a world that has been, at least from what I've seen, trained through different aspects. I don't know if it was the media, I don't know if it was entertainment industry, but a lot about guilt, shame, blame, drama. And here you are showing up and saying, well, you know, let's try some gentleness let's try some compassion. Let's step outside from blame and give a benefit of the doubt and assume that someone is actually trying to do something good. And instead of getting them all defensive, let's just approach them from a positive energy. And I think we could use a whole lot more of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And there's a big vacuum out there that can be filled with people like that are willing to give and not necessarily take. We got too many takers out there, Ken.
Yeah.
There has to be some more balance out there in everybody's lives.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're showing up with that. Now, to me, I'm just kind of curious because I've had a couple of ideas of brewing and if you got some support, would you have any desire to connect to some different veterans and help get some of their stories out if it was something that was fairly easy for you to do?
I would be happy to do that. I'm helping a couple of people. Little 11-year-old girl out in El Paso met me at a book signing and said, would I read her book? And so she's into the little bit of paranormal stuff at 11 years old. But I have two or three veterans who've asked me to help them write a book, and none of them have come forward. One veteran who bought my book at the VA said he wants me to meet his 91-year-old father, who was one of the original Bill Donovan OSS, pre-runner of the CIA. And he also worked with M1 or M5, I can't remember, out of England, British. And he said he's got so many stories and he wants somebody to document them for him. And I said, well, have him get in touch with me. And the son said, he won't do that. You've got to come to him. So we're kind of dealing with that. But yes. Yes, so, I am open. A lot of veterans, who have had service back in the Second War in Korea and Vietnam, don't want to tell their story. It's traumatizing to them, and they kind of break down when they start. They just, they don't want to relive it.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to get people past that, and, that's in the past, my friend. You don't
right.
relive it. Let's make a positive thing out of it. So even though I'm not a professional writer or professional author, Ken, by credentials, I haven't been indexed on the New York bestseller list or anything like that. I just started. I'm only into this 3 years, and I'm running. I'm running with it. So I'm open to any suggestion to help any of our veterans.
Okay. Well, this sounds really good. I've got some ideas. I'll connect with you kind of after the show. It'll take
okay.
me, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks or so to put some of this together, but this is just to let you know.
Wonderful.
And then through some of my training, I'd also like to offer to share with you some simple techniques that can, when someone is going to relive something important that has a lot of intensity and may still be very deeply emotionally connected, that there are some ways to help them enter that with a sense of much more ability to disconnect from all the intensity and still have some recall and not set themselves over the edge. And
right.
you made mention of some things that you say to people, and there's some more detail that I've studied in my background of specifics, and so I'd be delighted to see if I can share a little bit with you and set you forth on a creative path, because there's not one particular way to do this.
Exactly. Exactly.
But there can be some real breakthroughs for people dealing with PTSD or just phobic responses.
Exactly. And the interesting thing, Ken, and you mentioned medical studies on this, this digital electrodemagnet, I made a note here somewhere, I can't find it now. And I did look up that website before you and I talked.
Oh.
Yeah. I like to a little research on the person I'm talking to.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you didn't research too far. There's a list of folks that aren't too happy with me. But
well, c'est la vie. Let them live their life. You got to live yours. An old French expression I picked up in France.
Ah, there you go. I like that.
Now I forget where I was wanting to go with this, Ken.
Well, I know we were, you know, just discussing some of the things about the aspects of supporting the people, and some of that electromagnetic, and some with the PTSD and the
Medical studies. That's where I was heading.
Yeah,
there are a lot of medical studies documented on that website that I gave you on the taichicha.org, and there are current studies being undertaken right now. And as an aside, there was a study of Tai Chi Cha practiced in Folsom Prison in California earlier by a Tai Chi Cha instructor, and articles written about how the prisoners were relieved of stress. So my wife and I contacted Huntsville, Texas, which is the location of the headquarters of the state prison system, and we got certified and trained to do Tai Chi Cha in kind of a lower echelon confinement facilities. And we've gone to two of them now, and we haven't practiced it yet with any of the inmates, because some of the wardens are a little bit uptight about providing security and liability issues and so on and so forth. But we're kind of on a call basis for one which is just outside of San Antonio. And we have given the wardens documentation of the Folsom training that was done. It really not training. The practitioner wasn't training prisoners how to teach Tai Chi Cha, but just to practice it as one of the modalities to have better living conditions with people that are seemingly a little happier with life.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's another dimension, not only the VA and disabled veterans, but let's look at the confined people who are just living terrible lives, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's wide open, Ken. This football field continues more than 100 yards.
Oh, isn't that interesting to play a game and you just no way that you can go out of bounds?
No, there's no goalpost on the end either.
Yeah.
Well, I watched your Denver Broncos the other night, by the way. I had to bring that up.
Ah, good. Good. I think it was quite a sobering night for Peyton Manning.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But let's face it, he's human.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's nice early in the season to have him come up against that, and to still see how close they were, basically about one play away from if they'd have done that third three and out and stopped them from getting a first down, he would have had one more chance to go down the field.
That's right.
So for all the mistakes he made, they came within a whisper of pulling that thing out.
But I was just glad to see him back on the field. I really was.
Yeah. Isn't that nice that someone that's been injured, and that couldn't apply to you, that gets back in the game and plays again? And maybe it could apply to you, John. I don't know.
Well, one of my best friends who also went to St. Norbert College, I played football against him in high school. We went to college together. We came in the Army together.
Yeah.
And Pete, he was a little scat back. In high school, I was a fullback until I couldn't run too fast, so they put me in the line. But I could never catch little Pete back in high school. I couldn't, you know, he was a little scat back. Well, today, I don't think Pete could catch me.
Ah.
We both put on weight. We've gotten slower, but we've also inherited some disabilities, shall I say. But the times change. So the shoe's on the other foot now.
So now you get to be scat back in the world of you two.
Well, using that term very loosely.
Yes.
Fatback is probably a better term.
Okay, there you go. Oh, well, now I'm just kind of wondering if there'd be some things that you'd like to share, because we've kind of covered a little bit about the fun that went into the books, the trilogy, and how they relate to your life. And I certainly want to encourage people to go to that website again. And would you repeat that, where they can see about the books?
Okay, thanks. It's www.johncpayne.com.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very simple website, and it does discuss my three books. There's pictures of the covers, and there's how to get a hold of them, how to purchase them, where to go, and a hyperlink that'll get them right into. They are available digitally also, and for those folks who can't go to bed without their Kindle or their Nook or their other weapon of mass distraction, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we were in Greece 3 or 4 months ago, and there was a big graffiti on the side of one building. And it just, I'll never forget it, Ken. It said, "Watch out for this weapon of mass destruction." And there was a picture of a TV set under the words.
Oh, mercy.
Even in Greece.
Huh?
I say even in Greece.
Yes.
But you asked what I might be able to share with your listeners today about philosophy of life or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I hate to admit to your audience, but I'll be 75 fairly soon. And by God, I just have so many things left to do, and there's no barrier. There are no barriers. And my philosophy is get out there and do it. Don't be stagnant. Find something different. Find a new challenge and go after it, and know that there is some element of risk in switching and getting outside that box. There is an element of risk and so on. But unless you do it, you'll never experience that added dimension of your life. So get out there. Do something different.
Yeah.
Take on something that you've never done before. Like my main character, he just gets in over his head and comes out of it smelling like a rose and moves on to his next adventure.
Hmm. Huh. I like that. And what would you say, just for you or even your character? I don't know how much the character reflects you, but are some of the ways, when you came up against the challenge of taking some risks, that you were able internally to become able to move ahead?
Well, I believe very strongly in the philosophy of change. Now, I'm not being political with our existing president, I promise to change. But part of my thinking and my philosophy is change is inevitable. And we need to accept it, and we need to swallow it, regurgitate it, and move on to the next step. So a lot of people resist change. And I saw that throughout my working life, even within the military. Comfort levels mean no movement upward, as far as I'm concerned. You've got to get out of that comfort level and seek some risk. Take on some risk, and only with, and I hate to use this saying, you know, risk-reward kind of situation. You don't need reward to take on a little bit more risk. You get enthused with your own life and your own capabilities. You'd be surprised what people can do when they get outside that box. And that's what happened to me, Ken. 20 years in the military, in the Army, although I was in the medical service part, and we weren't, you know, running up and down hills, shooting people. We had a real everyday life mission, you know. But anyway, still within the box. And once I got out of the military, I got way outside the box. So my character in the first book, he's pretty much, you know, reasonable and so on. And that kind of was me. And in the second book, he goes off the deep end. Big, big jump off the deep end. So that's really kind of no longer me, but a person that I've seen and have worked with. So I interweave this risk thing throughout my books.
Mm.
Maybe it's my alter ego. I always wanted to become a private investigator, but I don't have room for it yet in my life. And that's my third book, My Guy Becomes a Private Investigator.
Ah.
So anyway, there's some of me in my books, and then there's a little bit of fiction in my books.
Well.
And that's the power of writing. You can skew it either way. It's wonderful to be able to write. And somebody, I was doing a book signing a couple of weeks ago in a bookstore, Ken, and there was a little boy with a mother came by. She bought one of my books. She said, "You're a fiction writer, right?" And I said, "Yeah, my books are fiction." And the little guy looked at me and said, "What are you talking about?" This kid was probably 9 or 10. I said, "Look outside. Look outside the window, young man. I can make it snow here tomorrow." And it was 102 degrees in San Antonio. And the kid said, "Wow! That's wonderful. I want to be a writer."
Hmm. Huh. Well, there's a powerful statement. And to me, I don't know if you've considered this, but some of the spiritual teachers that I've talked about says that being a human being, one of the unique things is that we have the ability to think independently of our current situation. And so what that said was, okay, something is going on in our lives and we may not like it. And at the same time, in the midst of all that going on, we have the ability to creatively think of different scenarios that can be much more joyful or empowering. And, of course, there's an author from many years ago, Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning while in the midst of being in a Nazi concentration camp. And so there was certainly someone that, in a very intense situation, found a way to think beyond the current situation and helped him to survive. And here you are, I think, very much through writing fiction, encouraging people in that same way. Think beyond the current situation that you're in.
Exactly. Exactly. And this, I told you, this little 11-year-old girl out in El Paso who came by one of my book signings and asked me if I would review her book. And I said, "What book?" She said, "Well, I have an 11-page, quote, book that I had to submit to my English class."
Mm.
So, Ken, she sent it to me on the Internet. I looked at it. I was enthralled with what this 11-year-old mind could do. So I wrote back 5 full pages of, you know, suggestions, comments, where to maybe develop a little bit here and there. And about a month ago, I got her first 2 chapters. Now I'm wondering, what am I getting into? What's the legality of this? Am I going to help her get published or be a ghostwriter or what? But 11-year-old, unbelievable.
Ah, this is great. Wow. Talk about an adventure. I think before too long, I'd like to see about having you as a guest on the show again, because we're talking about some of your adventures that are not just about you, but a growing list of folks that are going to be supported by you and your wife. This is very exciting, and geez, I wish we had more time, John. We've kind of blazed through our time together.
Well, I can't believe that, Ken. Things change, right?
Yeah, who knew?
Well, we could go through a couple of movements of the Tai Chi Chuan. And when I was in the VA hospital, I had to have a bone marrow biopsy and to confirm what they thought was this leukemia that I had. And I said, okay, go to it. And this one physician was medicating my derriere, and he said, oh, or she, it was a she, and she said, oh, you have a pretty ample derriere. I think we can numb it. And I said, go to it. And she said, now, when we get drilling into the hip bone, you're going to feel it because I can't numb it. And I said, go to it. So, Ken, I was laying down. I was mentally going through the 19 Tai Chi Cha movements.
Oh, my gosh. And John, this is amazing. I wish we had time before the show ends to hear the rest of this, and
well,
I'm going to have to ask you to...
I'm just going to say, Ken, I didn't feel them drilling the bone. I knew they were there, but I did not feel the drilling into the bone. The bottom line, when she turned around and left, I said, she has a pretty ample derriere also, and she's commenting on mine.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's a little humorous.
There you go. Sweet. Well, there will definitely be more when we have you on the show again. And just want to say thank you, John, and thank you, beloved listeners, for participating in this. And as we wrap up, until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now.
And thank you so much, Ken, and your listeners have a very fine resource available to them on your radio show.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye, Ken.